Welcome everyone to Oh Come On Sports with Mike and Jesse.
How's it going?
Today we are going to be talking about the NHL playoff format and give our opinions on it, who we think will win, if it'll actually go through, will we watch, all kinds of stuff. And we're also going to go back into time and talk about the video games for you that resonated with us and holds favorite, I guess, today.
That was fun. It was a little trip down memory lane for sure. The only sports you can talk about is a league potentially starting up again in a month.
Yeah,
then you gotta find something else. But it was a fun one.
Okay, so last week, the NHL and Gary Bettman announced that they have decided that they're going with a 24-team playoff that will be in two hub cities, one for each conference, and that the regular season has ended.
Yes.
That's it. Like, they're not doing any regular season games. The Detroit Red Wings players are so happy because they're like, why the fuck would we come back?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, we can't make the, you know, like, they're like, this is pointless.
So true. And there's also some happy teams that wouldn't have been included that are going to be included if this goes through, too. Like,
yep.
Chicago Blackhawks.
Yep, yep. Each team will play two exhibition games, and they will be allowed to carry 28 skaters and unlimited goalies.
Excellent.
So, how many skaters do they usually take? They usually take 18,
yeah.
Or no, 21 skaters they can have on a roster?
Then,
is that right?
Yeah, and then three goalies or two goalies?
Two goalies?
Two goalies,
so,
yeah.
So you're adding seven extra players and as many goalies as your heart's content.
That's great.
The hub cities that they're talking about are Chicago, Columbus, Dallas, Edmonton, Vegas, L.A., Minneapolis, which is probably out now, Pittsburgh, Toronto, and Vancouver. The top four teams in the conference will play each other to determine seeding, which I think is just, like, some juicy chaos.
Yes.
You know, Boston has just, like, played really well, and Philly got hot towards the end, and now Philly could, like, if they have a hot three games, they could just jump them.
Yeah.
Like, that's just chaos.
I
love that shit.
Yeah.
That's nuts.
And that's the way it's going to be for something like this, right? It's not going to be perfect, but
yeah.
They can find a way to make it as entertaining as humanly possible.
I'm fine, like... This season is going to have an asterisk just because not every team played the same amount of games. It's not going to be like a lockout where every team played 48 and there was still a Stanley Cup. Like, there's really no... Like, nobody remembers that the Blackhawks, one of those years, won... Like, it was a lockout year.
Right, yeah.
Nobody remembers. Nobody cares.
Right.
People are going to remember this because the playoff format was completely different. And they had to adjust on the fly.
Mm-hmm.
But I've heard people saying, like, well, it's not even a real cup. Well... Tell that to the fucking players that are going
to
play.
Well, I wanted to ask you about that. When you say asterisks, people look at asterisks as a negative, right?
Yeah.
But I almost, it's just means something different happened that time.
Yeah.
It gets considered as a negative because Barry Bonds and Mark McGwire and Sammy Sosa were considered asterisks, right?
I'm not considering this a negative asterisk. I'm just saying, like, it's different.
Exactly.
They changed everything on the fly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, going into the season, it was a 16-team playoff, and then they're like, oh, fuck. Like, we can't do this, so now we're going to do 24.
Right. And the potential, the winner of the Stanley Cup could have potentially played five playoff rounds,
yeah.
Which would have been more than they would have played if the regular season went on as planned. So to say it's not legitimate, I'm not buying that. It's as legitimate as it gets to me. It's different, like you said, so if you want to put the asterisk for that, go ahead. But
yeah.
It's not like the team that wins it will have earned it.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And I do like that the top four seeds are going to do a seeding round, because...
Mm-hmm.
When they originally announced this, I was like, wait, so you're going to have, like, seeds 5 through 12 have a playoff series, and seeds 1 through 4 are going to sit there twiddling their thumbs and be rusty as all hell?
Yeah.
Like, all the top, like out of the top 8 seeds there that are getting buys, two of them are going to go on, because
mm-hmm.
the rest are going to be so out of shape and shit, you know?
Yeah.
Also, I can't wait to see, like, the one player that has not been working out and just rolls up and he's gained, like 20 pounds, and they're just like, what the fuck? I really need that in my life.
I know Dustin Byfuglien's not playing anymore, but I wonder what his weight is at right
yeah.
now. Like, it wouldn't be outrageous to say he might be 350 right now.
Yeah.
And I'm like, a fan. I'm a fan. No disrespect.
One of the guys I thought of was Phil Kessel, but
he's
a pudgy guy anyways, and he can fly, so I don't think it's going to matter to him.
That guy he's one of those guys that takes so much heat, and he is actually a freaking player, man. Like, he scores, he's confident as all fuck, he beat cancer. I don't know why that guy takes so much heat. Probably because, like you said, he seems like he's an out-of-shape guy.
Well, and he played in Toronto. Toronto,
yeah.
like,
Toronto demonizes players.
Yeah.
They really do.
For sure.
They eat. It's just like Montreal. They bring them in and they eat them up.
Yeah.
They eat them up and spit them out. And they're like, and the players are never the same afterwards. And to be honest, I don't understand why any player would sign in Toronto or Montreal.
For sure.
To be quite honest. Yeah. Like the amount of pressure, like Tavares, good on you, buddy, I guess. But I'm like, I wouldn't have. Fuck that.
Exactly.
You know?
I think. Yeah, I agree. I think Phil Kessel is under the radar funny, too. James Van Riemsdyk told a story about once he went to Philadelphia and then he went back to Toronto and he lined up against Phil Kessel and he was talking trash to Kessel. And Kessel said in his, like, kind of, like, you know, nasally voice, he's like, James, I made you. James, get out of here, James. I made you what you are.
Oh, man, that's phenomenal. So going back to the Hub Cities thing, do you have a horse in the race? Do you care?
No, I don't care. I think Edmonton is a good location, actually, with the new building, the hotels that they have around there. I don't think it's a favorite, but it looks like as good a location as any, to be honest. The only thing that would rule it out is depending on what the border situation is.
And that 14-day quarantine rule, exactly. Which is mandatory coming into Canada right now.
Yeah, so that might
They'd have to waive that, yeah. And I'm not sure if the federal government will.
Right, yeah.
You know?
Yeah, for sure. But I like Edmonton, but I'm fine with anywhere. Vegas makes sense to me.
Vegas makes a whole lot of sense to me. Yeah. Just because of the amount of hotels in the area.
Yes.
Makes sense. And I guess the NBA is not going there. Like, their hub city is going to be Orlando.
Florida, Orlando, yeah.
Yeah, like, they're going to put all the teams there.
Yeah.
So that frees up Vegas, you know.
That's because they know what happens when the NBA goes to Vegas. when all of the NBA goes to Vegas at the same time, shit gets weird.
they're like, well, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe if we put them in Disney World, they can't get in as much shit. Maybe.
Remember when the NBA All-Star Game was in Vegas one year?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. There were so many stories that came out of that.
Yeah.
Phenomenal stuff. Phenomenal stuff. So the other eight teams will play a best of five series to qualify. Now, we've said the playoffs, that first round is technically going to be called, like, they haven't termed it yet, but I've heard people, like, they're going to refer to it as the postseason, and then the next round will be the playoffs.
Mm.
And the reasoning for the different wordage is because they still have to fulfill some TV contracts.
Okay.
Right? I think most local, like, regional sports networks need 70 games. That's okay. That's like the minimum you got to play that they broadcast.
Gotcha. Yeah.
So they're going to do this postseason and they'll count it as like regular season games towards the TV network thing, but it will be regular season games based on the
I see.
Like, for stats.
So to a fan, it's still going to be playoffs.
To a fan, it's playoffs.
Yeah.
But they're doing this
playoffs.
Talking about playoffs,
postseason.
It's all just legal jargon. I think to keep the television networks happy.
Yeah,
is what I think the reasoning they're doing that. It's going to be best of five series, and they still haven't determined if round one and two are going to be best of seven yet. Those could be best of five.
Okay.
Also.
Yeah.
Round one is the round after the qualifying round.
Right. So the qualifying round is a round of five already, right? That's decided.
That's decided.
And then the next round is up in the air as to whether it's going to be seven or five.
That's right. But conference final and Stanley Cup final will be best of seven.
Good. It should be.
Now the question is, we just wait to see when, like, they're putting in all these things in place. Like, how are they going to test the players for COVID?
Yeah.
You know, what are they going to do if a guy tests positive for COVID? Do you just isolate him and hope that the rest of the team didn't get it?
Yeah.
Like, how they got to come up with all these contingency plans before they decide that, okay, now these are the dates, this is what we're doing.
Exactly.
Also, they got to decide when they're starting the new season.
Yeah.
For next year, is it going to be a full season or is that going to be shortened?
Yeah.
And are they going to try to, like, shorten it to get back to a regular calendar schedule? Like,
yeah.
You know,
Brian Burke has been very vocal about the fact that what the NHL should be doing is focusing on securing next season's start before they even do these playoffs. Because he's saying that the business obligations need to be decided on next season so that season ticket holders know what they're getting, people that are buying ads know what they're getting, and basically they have the buildings booked to know what's going on.
He's right.
Yeah.
He is right. Or he's not wrong.
Yeah.
They do have to have an eye towards that.
And he's the only guy. Out. And he's the only guy I hear saying that, because he's obviously he knows the business side of it inside and out. But us as fans, we're like, who gives a fuck? Start the playoffs.
Or even regular media folk are like, fuck, we just want something to watch.
Exactly.
You know? Yeah. I've heard from...
Media folk want something to bet on, let's be honest.
That's true. Well,
and ditto. No complaints.
Another thing, too, I heard that... the postseason does not qualify as a team making the playoffs. And this is key for bets, for futures.
Right.
Where, like, Montreal to make the playoffs.
Yeah.
This does not count.
Oh, okay.
So, technically, Pittsburgh is not in the playoffs.
No.
They have to win this to make it into the playoffs.
Interesting.
Right?
That's important.
This is for betting purposes.
Yeah.
Some casinos have given back the money and just said, like this is a wash. We don't even know if this is coming back. Here's your money back.
Yeah.
But others are holding on to it and saying, nope, you got to wait. Yeah. See, if it comes back. I still have my doubts if they're going to do this. I understand that they've announced this is their plan.
Yeah.
I still have my doubts.
Yeah.
I feel like there's going to be a point of no return. They got to say, like, fuck, what are we doing? Why don't we just... The player's got a 5-month off season or 6-month off season, and we'll go back to, you know... Shit, we didn't award the Stanley Cup, but you didn't award it in 1918 too, in 1919, because of the influenza. So,
right,
you know,
the logistics of it is an absolute nightmare. As far as, like you were saying, the testing, the protocol to make sure they're doing it safely, the quarantining, all of that stuff is an absolute nightmare. Something that happened, and this isn't the same sport, so it's not really comparable, but the UFC, they had their event, and one of their fighters did test positive for it. And most people were thinking that if that happens, they have to shut down the whole event. But with the UFC, they isolated him, and they isolated his trainers, and that was it. The rest of the event went on as planned. Now, it's a different animal, so it's hard to compare. It's not apples to apples.
Did they find another fighter for that, like, for his opponent? Or was he just kind of tough bananas,
the match was just nixed the match. But that was one of those situations where people were wondering what was going to happen if professional sports did an event and somebody tested positive, would that ruin everything?
Yeah.
And the UFC, like I said, not apples to apples, so it's not an absolute comparison, but they basically balked at that and said, you know what, that doesn't ruin the entire event. But of course, they're not a team atmosphere either. It's not, you know, 20, 25 guys in a room.
They wouldn't be on a flight, but on a bus going to the stadium, you know?
And that's like a lot of these places want walking distance between the hotels and the arenas and the practice facilities.
To me, Vegas makes the most sense.
Yeah.
They got so many hotels around that New York, where the T-Mobile Center is.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I can't think of a better place than Vegas for the way they're set up.
Okay, will you watch?
Of course.
Yeah?
100%.
You'll be ready?
100%.
You'll be ready? Now, I've heard, too, that it's not going to be like night games, because, like, people might be still under quarantine. They might be doing it during the day.
Yeah.
Like, it might be 3 games a day.
Yeah.
Just to...
Anything they want to do that is going to make this happen, I am on board.
You're on board?
I will watch
100%.
I will watch it. I will pay attention. I will bet on it. I will do everything they want their fans to do when they reopen. I will be it.
One thing, like I'm going to watch it too.
Yeah.
I've talked with other people and a couple of them were like, it's going to be summertime. Why am I going to watch hockey? I'm like, you know, when you've been without sports for this long and it's going to be on, you can't help but be like, okay, let's see. And you'll just get hooked.
You know? I don't,
it's especially as the summer goes on, because there's going to be no new TV shows. Nobody's filming right now.
Exactly.
So you're going to need fresh content. All these networks are going to need fresh content, and sports are the way.
There is such a hunger for this right now. There is going to be a ton of viewers. People are going to be watching this nonstop. People are going to be sitting outside on a patio, drinking a beer, watching playoff hockey in the middle of a beautiful day. How good is that?
I wonder how many bars, like, obviously, like, I don't know how many bars have clout with the NHL or can talk to people.
Yeah.
But I wonder how many of them are pushing for this to happen just to get people back in their doors, even with this... like every other table can be full type thing. Like, they're going to be pushing because they're going to want revenue coming in the door. They're going to want people.
Of
like
course.
All businesses are hurting right now. So they're going to want,
yeah,
you know, they're going to want to recoup some of their finances. Having live sports, if it's all day,
yeah,
just benefits them.
100%. And of course, yeah, good point. I'm getting ahead of myself saying people are going to be sitting in patios, but I do imagine by the time, if they're allowing this to happen, I do imagine that things are going to start to open up again.
Yeah.
I know restaurants in Calgary are already planning to be opened up again. It's just a matter of time and making sure they're all following the right protocol.
Now, for me, I'm kind of a pessimistic with all with the NHL, NBA, and MLB. Like, mm-hmm. I'm kind of pessimistic that I don't think it'll happen. I think I think it's all just talk now, and just because there's so much to go through and there's so much uncertainty, like scientists everywhere are trying to say that there's going to be a second wave,
mm-hmm.
and they got to prepare for that. So, like, how do you prepare for that when you don't know when the wave's going to come?
Right.
I don't know.
Right.
Part of me thinks that the NFL is going to be the first one back, like, as a team sport.
Right, okay.
Just because they can have until, like, August.
Yeah.
Which is another 2 months away. So much can change. So much has changed in the past 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
So much can change going 2 months. They might be ready to go.
Yeah.
You know.
And the
leagues might turn around and just say, you know what, we've come too far. We need to concentrate on next season now.
Yeah. I agree with you. That could potentially happen. I think it's going to happen. I think basketball and hockey are going to happen. The one that's weird right now is baseball, because
the players are pissed at the owners.
The players and the owners are not on the same page at all. Like, not even close.
No, the players figured that they're like, whatever games we play, you prorate our salary.
Yeah.
So if we're making, just for easy math, if I'm making $162 million as Bryce Harper and we only play 100 games, I make $100 million.
Yeah.
That's what the players want.
Exactly.
The owner's like, no, because we're not bringing in revenue.
Yeah.
You got to take less. And the player's like, well, fuck off. Like, how about that? So, and that's basically where it's at. So, like, I don't think baseball's happening at all.
Yeah.
It's
going to be tough.
Baseball is becoming like NHL used to be, where the NHLPA and the owners fucking hated each other.
They really do.
Baseball players and the owners, like,
yeah,
are angry at each other when it comes to, like, the free agency thing and all, like,
yeah,
there's a lot of built up resentment there, and I don't think they're ready to play ball. Where the NBAPA and the NBA owners seem to be buddy buddy, and I think NHL's it's not as frosty as it used to be.
It seems like, yeah, I'm blown away at how well that the NHLPA and the owners are cooperating.
Yeah.
It seems like both sides really want to get something done.
So, yeah, it's interesting that the NHL came out with theirs first, which blew my mind, because the NHL is usually not first with anything.
No.
They're so slow with everything they do. That they're preparing to start up again. And the NBA's, too, they're talking about a 22-team format,
okay,
which we'll talk about probably next week or mm-hmm. the week after that once it gets ratified and it's official. But the MLB is crazy to me that they're having so many issues. It's like how angry they are.
And maybe it's because that we're at the start of the MLB season and we're in the middle of the NBA and the NHL. But I love baseball, but I'm not interested in baseball right now. I want to see the NHL and the NBA start up and do this playoff format. That's what I'm interested in right now, because that's going to be where the action is.
Yeah. All right, I'm going to go through some matchups here in the East and the West for the NHL.
Okay.
And then you tell me which one you're most excited to see and which one you're least excited to see.
Sure. Sorry, okay. I'm just going to dump this on your floor while I wait here.
That's okay. So we got the 5-seed Penguins are going to face the 12-seed Canadiens. The 6-seed Hurricanes are facing the 11-seed Rangers. The 7 Islanders are facing the 10-seed Panthers, and the 8-seed Leafs are facing the 9-seed Blue Jackets. Which is your least favorite of those to watch?
Sorry, I got distracted by the fact that I was spilling my drink all over the place. Let me see them again here.
So, Pens and Habs.
Yep.
Hurricanes, Rangers.
Yep.
Isles, Panthers, Leafs, Blue Jackets. What's your least favorite?
Which
one, like, are you just going to be like, eh?
Kane, Rangers, don't care.
At all?
No.
Not at all?
No,
okay.
Not interested.
And your favorite?
The Penguins, Habs.
Penguins, Habs?
Yeah.
Well, a lot of star power on that one.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, Montreal's a historic... They'll get rolled up by Pittsburgh, I got to be honest. They should, but it's a historic franchise. You got Carey Price, maybe he gets hot, starts stealing a couple games.
Listen, they're all like, oh, Carey Price, the boogeyman. Like, he hasn't been good for 2 years, guys. Like,
the team around him has been awful. He's had some good performances.
Yes, but, like, his numbers and those underlining analytics numbers have shown that he's not great.
It's not a great idea to pay your goalie $10 million.
No,
it's just not.
And it's like, everyone's, like, so scared. And I think they're, they're, like, discounting the Penguins a little bit because they're coming back healthy. Like, Gensel's coming back.
Yeah.
They traded for Zucker. Malkin and Crosby are going to be healthy. Like, they're going to have a stacked fucking lineup.
There's no worry about a guy like Sid coming back out of shape. And he's the straw that's stirring the drink there.
So that's weird. My least favorite, I will not watch the Islanders Panthers. I don't give two shits about those two teams.
That's not really hitting the radar.
I don't care. It's Penguins Habs will be fun just because that'll get like a huge coverage.
Yeah.
I also want to see Leafs Jackets a little bit because if the Leafs lose, it's just gonna be
a cherry on top.
Yeah, and just watching that whole fan base just fucking lose their mind.
I'm drawn in by Toronto too, and like I know there's lots of the center of the universe, lots of hatred for them across the country, but I'm drawn in by them. I want to see what happens to them, and I watch their games. It also helps that they got guys like Austin Matthews and John Tavares that are great to watch.
I wonder too if in these first rounds, talent is going to win out because they've been out of the game so long, and they're not. Like, they're going to be rusty coming out of the gate, and will natural talent win out for the first little bit?
Yeah.
So the more talented teams will have a better time, because teams that have, like get by more on work ethic and stuff, they need to get back into their systems and back into the rhythm of that. That might take time.
Yeah.
Where guys like Crosby and Malkin are just naturally gifted, and they can make something happen. You know, like, I wonder if that's going to play a factor in these games.
In the opening series, for sure.
Yeah. And the top four seeds in the East are the Bruins, Lightning, Capitals, and Flyers. And obviously, they're going to have like a seeding round, and they'll figure out their shit.
Yeah.
In the West, the top four seeds are the Blues, Avalanche, Golden Knights, and the Stars. The Oilers get right fucked because they went to a conference-based system instead of division. So it's not the top two in the division. It's the top four in the conference. The Oilers are the fifth seed, and they'll face the Blackhawks.
Yep.
The Preds are the sixth seed, and they'll face the Coyotes. The seventh seed is the Canucks. They'll face the Wild. And the eighth seed is the Flames, which will face the Jets.
Right.
Least favorite.
Least favorite, I am going to go with... Preds Coyotes isn't that interesting to me, and it's because of the Coyotes. It's not because of the Predators. I just, you know, the Coyotes are that team that, I have a little bit of respect for them, but I'm not interested in watching those guys play.
And obviously, top one, it's got to be Flames.
Flames and Jets, for sure.
It's really too bad we can't have fans for that, because that would be batshit.
Absolutely.
The fans would go nuts for it.
And I will be watching every game of the Oilers-Hawks series as well, too, just to see what happens there, because a refreshed Hawks team could be dangerous.
Could you imagine if they beat the Oilers?
Yeah.
Like Edmonton would be so pissed, and they'd be mad at the NHL for fucking them. They really would. Yeah. They would blame the NHL for everything. Like, they're just out to get them.
If it was a Wild Coyotes matchup, that would be my least favorite. I would much rather watch like Canucks Predators.
Yeah.
But the Wild and the Coyotes as a teams just bore me.
Canucks Wild for me. Going to be the most boring series.
Yeah.
Like, I just hate watching Minnesota games.
I know, and it's a shame. I think this stems from when they first came into the league and Jacques Lemaire was their coach.
Yes, and it was all defense, 2-1 games, and that's all they played.
That is so long ago now, but I can't get that out of my head when I see those forest green jerseys.
I agree. Flames-Jets, that's going to be a barn burner series. And both teams, like obviously Hellebuck is a Vezina contender, but both teams have problems in the defensive zone this season. So I wonder how many goals are going to be scored in this fucking series.
Yeah, it could be a shootout. Which the high end talent on the Jets is really good, but I like the Flames forward as a group. So I would love to watch that.
We will also see. They have not decided if it's going to be a bracket style or a reseeding style as the rounds go on.
Right.
So bracket means like you just go in your bracket. There's no reseeding, so you could have like it kind of fucks over the Blues because the Blues could face the tough the Blues could face the Oilers coming out of it, right?
And
they're not going to want that.
No.
So I wonder if they're going to do reseeding and how that all works.
I know what the NHL wants: straight bracket format.
Yes, because they think that hockey fans like to play the March Madness style bracket.
Yeah.
No fucking hockey fan cares. Like, to be quite honest, they push this. Nobody cares.
Yeah.
Nobody plays it. And if you do fill out a bracket, you forget about it within 10 minutes.
It's not March Madness, that's for sure. Where you got people that never watched a college basketball game in their life filling it out.
I think the NHL needs to offer the $1 billion like for a perfect bracket thing, but they'll never do that because the chances of you getting a perfect bracket are quite higher in a Stanley Cup format than it is March Madness.
Yeah, there's a lot of unpredictableness with young people and
gambling.
Teams coming together.
Gambling. That's why people do it. They don't give a fuck about basketball. They're just gambling.
Yeah, nobody knows, like, Loyola of Maryland or whatever, but like all of a sudden you care about them.
Yeah, there's diehards out there, but our group of friends will do a March Madness bracket, and none of us know what the fuck's going on.
No.
And to be quite honest, a lot of the time I'm looking at the mascots, and I'm like, well, or, like, their surnames, so, like, would a Wildcat beat a Mountaineer? And I'm like, yeah, probably, you know? Like, that's how I go. I never win, but that's how I pick.
It's a lot of people are like that.
And I think that's all I can say about the NHL playoff format.
I say let's do it. Get it going.
They're talking, they have said that they're shooting for end of July to be starting it.
Yeah.
So,
and I was, fingers crossed. We were kind of on opposite points. You thought this wasn't going to happen at all, probably maybe still do. And I was thinking it was going to happen earlier, so maybe there'll be a middle ground where it'll happen late in the summer.
Yeah, part of me says it's not going to happen, but I hope I'm wrong. Yeah. I would love to just watch some real sports again. That'd be nice.
It's all going to be pending on this, I'm using air quotes, the second wave of this. If it comes, what happens? Because the first wave is dying out based on the numbers, which who knows if they're accurate anyway, but it does seem like the first wave is dying out.
Yeah.
So I think preparing to play is a good idea, and I just hope they can follow through with it.
All right. Video games of our youth.
There you go.
Influential.
Influenza.
Did I put that? Yeah, influential video games of our youth. Basically, the games that, I don't want to say like molded you for the future, but the games you like look back on fondly that, like, if you were playing them now, you'd be like, oh, this is great. Even if you suck at it now, but you'd be like, oh, this would be so great.
Yeah, and what I did too, I just thought of what pops into mind. When I think of the funnest games I played are the ones I enjoyed the most, what pops into my mind. So that's and I did it a little bit chronologically, too. I kind of started with some of the first ones and then went up to some of the later years as well.
Okay, you go first.
But my first one was Street Fighter for the Super Nintendo.
Oh, shit!
Yeah. It was one of the first games that I ever really got for that console. You know, that two-dimensional, one guy on each side of the screen. You got your A and your B, your kicks and your punches, and then you use the directional pad in these little kind of half moon and half circles to do these fancy moves.
Yeah, to get the Sonic Boom and the Hadouken.
You got Guile and you got Ken and Ryu, and you got E. Honda and Kung Lee and all these cool characters. That was the one that came to mind for me first. I just remember sitting at my little desk in my room playing that on a 9-inch TV with a Super Nintendo hooked up to it. So that was great. We used to rent the Super Nintendo. Do you remember that?
Yes.
Like, before we could even afford to buy one, you could go to video stores. Used to be a thing, folks. And I don't know if anyone else remembers that.
Does anybody remember a Blockbuster?
Yeah, yeah.
And they also had like independents that did these things. It was madness.
Independent movie stores. Can you even believe that was a thing anywhere?
Yeah. I remember going to one that was called Saz Video.
I remember that one too.
SASZ?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because as a young person, you would try, you're always looking for a game, right? Like, I used to get out the phone book and call these stores trying to find someone that had a game either to rent or to buy. And then my mom, God bless her soul, no, she's not dead, sorry. I meant God bless her, because she would drive me all over the city to find these freaking games. My mom is very much alive. It's okay.
Oh, man. All right, so my first game, I'll go chronologically too, was Sonic the Hedgehog for Sega Genesis.
It's the one that came with the console.
Yeah,
fantastic.
And the Green Hill Zone, that first level, you load it up, and it's like, Sega! And then you got Sonic up there, and then he's running, and, like, it was so much fun, just, like, it was all speed.
Yeah.
Like, it was all just reacting and going as fast as you can, and I just loved it.
You want to hear a hot take? I like it better than Mario.
I would agree with that.
Yeah, I liked it better.
I think you got to be a certain gen. Like, I think if you're about 5 years older than we are, you'll like Mario,
yeah,
right? Because that's enough. But where we came in, because we wouldn't have started playing games until like the early '90s, like 90, 91. We've been 6 years old ish. Yep. That's when you start playing and really formulating what games you like.
Yeah.
And Sonic was coming down the pipe. Yeah,
it was so good. Game Gear for Sega was actually a really good handheld console as well too. Sega Game Gear.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, there were so many.
Yeah,
there were so many. All right, what's your next one?
Next one was NHL 94.
Ah, the classic.
Also for Sega Genesis.
Classic.
It was one of the first hockey games where you felt like you were actually watching hockey, even though when you watch it now, the graphics were not that good.
Blue ice.
Yeah.
That's blue ice. That's what pulls my mind.
Water is blue, Jesse. Come on.
Fuck. You just watch it, you're like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Blue ice.
But I remember going from the original Nintendo system, which had Blades of Steel, to going to EA Sports NHL 94 on the Sega, and I just thought I had died and gone
and
to heaven.
And NHL 94 was the first one you could do a season, correct?
Yep, it was. And you could do line changes and all that stuff that you couldn't do on any of the other games. So
Jeremy Roenick was a goddamn beast.
You could not stop Jeremy Roenick. That was the thing. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. So my next one, I'm going to go into the arcade genre.
Oh.
Because you and I would go to arcades as kids, and then it was just... there was a time when arcades were a thing for all you younger viewers out there. It was a place you went and socialized and played games. It was crazy.
And you would actually use quarters, not tokens.
Yes. the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles arcade game.
Classic.
I remember playing... I wasted a lot of money on that fucking thing.
Yeah.
Classic game, just you would go to the big box of I don't even know what you call it, the arcade itself, and it would be color coded, so you'd be like on the far left to be Leonardo, so it'd be blue.
Yeah, because it was multiplayer as well.
Yes, you could have four players, and then the next color would be Donatello, purple, and then Mikey, orange, and then Raphael, red, and like people would you'd get in there, and other guys would come in, and you'd get your squad, and it was. And it was a bunch of fun.
And the screen used to scroll, right? So you would always have the one buddy that wasn't moving fast enough, and he was holding up the entire screen.
Yeah.
Come on, Donatello, let's move your ass here. We're trying to
Come on, Donnie.
Yeah, we're going east here. Let's move.
Yeah, that was some good shit. That was some good shit.
That was great.
So yeah, that brought you... In fact, I was looking online, this is a couple years ago, but you can buy an arcade unit, and it'll ship with a 20-inch... screen and a hard drive that you can load like 300 arcade games on it, and it comes with the joystick and the buttons and everything.
Cool.
And I decided right then that I will be buying an arcade system just so I can get Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles on the arcade. So yeah, that's happening.
Love those deferred mortgage payments.
That's right.
Everyone be smart out there. Yeah. Oh, that's great. Number three for me, I'm moving up to the N64 console now. This was a game that was simply called WrestleMania, and it was licensed by the WWF at the time, and it was WWF WrestleMania. That's all it was called. It was for N64.
Okay.
It made by THQ, which I loved the graphics of THQ at that time. They seemed to be the only game designer that could get body movements right in these combat games. Like they were the ones who did Tekken. Do you remember Tekken?
Yes.
The stand-up arcade game?
Yeah.
The way those...
Well, and Tekken was wild too, because the camera would pivot and go around guys. And I remember people were like, whoa, it's crazy.
And even though their bodies had like that kind of octagon...
Polygon
shape, the movement of the bodies was great. Like nothing we've ever seen before.
Yeah.
So they put that in WrestleMania. You could create your own guys. You had to move for every direction.
Was it WrestleMania or was it No Mercy? It was WrestleMania.
No, it was called... The first one was called WrestleMania.
Okay.
And then there was lots that came after that they were all basically the same or just an upgrade of it, but I loved it. They would have like cut scenes where guys were doing interviews in the ring.
Oh, that's hilarious.
And then guys would run in the middle of your match and you'd have to beat them. So that was a fun one. We had a lot of fun playing that one.
My next one, I'm sticking in the arcade genre. WWF WrestleFest.
I was hoping you would bring that one up. That is such a beauty.
We played the shit out of that one. I remember playing with you all the time. That was... All you could do on that was a Royal Rumble match.
Couldn't you do tag team matches?
You could do tag team, but like if you had four guys, you were always doing Royal Rumble.
For sure.
There was options, but you were doing Royal Rumble.
Oh, that was so good.
And it was like a race to who could pick Hogan or Warrior or fucking, I think Papa Shango was on that goddamn game. And everyone was like oversized for what they were in real life. And it was so good.
Earthquake and Typhoon.
Yeah.
And... Oh, geez, I want to say Legion of Doom, but I don't think they were on there. But Demolitions were
Demolition
for sure.
Was on there.
Mr. Perfect was on there.
Yes,
he was so good.
Yes,
Hogan,
he was.
Warrior,
yeah.
That was great. I don't think Papa Shango was on that. I think he came after, I feel
like.
Oh,
maybe.
Yeah, but anyway, just a great, great game. Yeah,
so much memories playing that game in a dark arcade.
I used to get sore wrists from that game.
Yes, like, because you'd have to hammer both buttons as you're doing the lockup, because you had to win the battle to throw them, and it was like, oh my god, so much fun.
Oh, I was hoping you'd bring that one up. It wasn't on my list, but that definitely could have been for sure.
All right, next.
Next one I had was, sticking with the N64 console, Ken Griffey Baseball.
Ah, yes. I didn't put that on my list because I knew you'd put it on your list. We played the shit out of that.
Played the heck out of that was the first baseball game that went from, I think the one before that, I think they called it Triple Play or something like that.
Something like
and
that,
and it was all generic. All the batting stances were the same. So this is the first one. This one introduced four batting stances for all of Major League Baseball. But to us, that was a huge step up. Yeah, it was huge.
And Griffey had his stance.
Griffey had his own special stance.
Really, it was three batting stances and Griffey's.
Exactly. Just for Griffey. Yep, good point. You know? Good point. Yeah.
And but that was so much fun. And could you not, you could do trades in that, you could do a season.
Yeah.
I think you could do a fantasy draft.
You could do a fantasy draft, because we would reset it every time trying to get the number one pick.
Yeah.
So in order to get, like, because, you know, you're cheap when you're a kid. You're like, I want to get Griffey, or I want to get one of the top picks.
Yeah.
And it was like Vinny Castillo was great back then. Like, Tim Salmon was a top player on that game.
Yeah, there you go. Bringing him back. Vladdy Guerrero was big.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, yeah, that was a blast. We used to use that intro song in when we first started this podcast.
Yes.
You would use the Ken Griffey Call me Junior.
Yeah.
Version of that for our podcast.
Oh,
so,
my God.
Yeah, absolute blast. One pitching motion for every pitcher.
Every single one.
Yeah.
Every single one.
But they did all the individual ballparks in that game, too, so that was a step up from what we were used to.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah. And they didn't let you throw the ball around the diamond forever. Do you remember on, like, Triple Play?
If you
didn't stop throwing the ball, you could throw it around forever.
until your buddy would knock the controller out of your hand so you could play again.
Either that, or if he had a guy on base, he would just run home while you're throwing it around the freaking diamond.
Yeah. I'm going to go into the N64. Actually, my last two games are N64.
Okay.
GoldenEye.
Classic.
Classic. Now, I will say, you try to play that shit now, it's really hard because you go back down to one joystick and you don't know what the fuck you're doing.
Yeah, exactly.
The new consoles have trained you for two joysticks, and now you don't know.
To use the sight of the gun and the movement of your guy, on a joystick.
On one joystick, and it's impossible. But I remember, I don't even, like, the amount of time we spent as kids playing that game was ridiculous. And you would learn that you could do big head mode, and that was a thing for a night or whatever. And, you couldn't be Odd Job. You couldn't be...
Exactly, because it was short, right?
Because you're short. Yeah. And you weren't allowed to be Jaws for some reason. I can't remember why, but you weren't allowed to be Jaws.
Or you couldn't use the golden gun. Or,
yes.
Or we had we would do it so you bring down everyone's power so that one shot will kill you, and that was fun. So no matter what, whatever weapon you were using, one shot would kill
you. Or you would do like only assault rifles, or only one of the funnest ones was the one, I can't remember the level, but it was like all I think it was bunker.
Yeah.
And you would use rocket launchers.
Yeah.
Like, that was just fuck. You'd kill yourself.
Yeah.
Like, more often than not, because that's all the gun you had.
What did you always hear when you're playing with four guys? What was the thing you always heard playing that game? Stop looking at my screen.
Yeah.
Stop looking at my screen.
Hey, maps off.
Yeah.
Get on your map. It's like, and it was split up into four.
It was on a TV. It was split into four on your TV. There's no way you couldn't look at someone else's screen.
Exactly. Yeah. I see you looking at my screen. Don't be looking where I am. Oh, my God. So good. All right, what do you got for your last
one? This is the last one I got, and I brought it right up until modern day today.
Okay.
The NBA 2K series of games. All of them.
Yeah, I love that.
I love that game so much. Even as an adult today, if I have some free time, I will turn that on, and that's the game that I play. I think the movements are so good. The attention to detail is phenomenal. They have NBA players' tattoos perfect on that game. Like, think of how much attention to detail that takes. And that's I just think, as far as a game that's going on today, I love it and I hate it at the same time, because playing it, sometimes you just want to rip your controller through the wall. But if I have a few minutes of spare time at night, I'll still throw that on from time to time and go at it.
I would say for my current game, it would probably be Madden.
Yeah.
I didn't buy this past year's Madden, but that's because I'm getting, I feel like it's a glorified roster update.
They are,
to be quite
for
honest.
Sure, for sure.
But my last
roster update.
Yeah, my last game, WCW NWO Revenge for the 64.
Great.
That
was when they really tuned it in good.
Yes,
right?
and you had, I just remember going to a buddy's house. I think his name was Ryan Lambert. And
I remember Ryan.
Yeah, and we would go with Adam.
Yeah.
and our buddy Adam, and we would all go there, and Ryan's mom was like Cartman's mom, would just give him whatever he wanted. Do you remember that?
And Ryan was a little bit like Cartman.
Yes, he was. Yes, he was. He would get whatever, like, so if you went over there, you were getting, like, all the best snacks.
Nice.
And you would load up the N64, and it'd be WCW, NWO Revenge, and you hit a nut shot and you hear the ding, and they had all kinds of rosters. It wasn't just WCW and NWO guys. They had like New Japan guys, like the amount of stuff they had was insane.
Because that one came out after WWF bought WCW, right?
So nope, that was before.
That was before. So yeah. They actually joined their licensing in order to make that game?
No. This was like New Japan and stuff. WWF wasn't a part of it.
Oh, I thought WWF and WCW had a game where all the guys were in the same game. That must have just came much later.
It came after they bought.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah. But I remember Goldberg and Sting and Rey Mysterio Jr. and the other luchador there. I can't remember.
Ultimo Dragon.
Ultimo Dragon.
Yes, he was the fucking man. There was Goldberg. I remember on the cover you had Kevin Nash, Hollywood Hogan, and Raven.
Raven.
And
that's
Goldberg
right.
was there, and it was like, why the fuck is Raven there?
Yeah, ECW here.
But
right?
I had heard that one of the guys that was in charge, like a head producer of the game, he loved Raven, so he made sure to put him on the cover. Yeah. So there you go. Crazy. Another game just that I loved as a series, and they no longer make it, was NCAA football. And this plays into my Madden love, because I could take like guys from the college level through, and you could save it, and then you could have your own custom draft classes going into Madden.
Oh, nice!
Yeah, so like you could if you had your guy, you could play him from as a freshman in college all the way till, yeah. And I used to play the shit out of those things. I loved the recruiting.
I loved
taking a team that was like fucking ranked 100th and just like recruiting and getting and building them into a powerhouse. Oh man,
you had
so much time.
And there's no licensing with names, right? So it's just player numbers.
Yeah, it was HB number 3 or wide receiver number 1 or whatnot. So.
I never played that game, but I know a lot of people that love it just for the reasons you just explained there.
Yeah, I remember that game. You couldn't get it in a regular. Now this is before you could download games.
Right.
Okay? So I'm dating myself here.
Anybody know what a cartridge was? Because that's what these games are.
Remember cartridges? They would always say don't blow in the cartridge. But if that fucking thing didn't work, you were blowing in that cartridge.
You had to blow in the cartridge,
and it would work every single time.
Yeah. Blow on it and stick it back in.
That's right.
Yeah.
And art too. Like you fucking work now.
There's a euphemism if you ever.
Yeah. Exactly. And it worked every time.
Exactly.
You couldn't get NCAA football in a regular EB Games or GameStop or whatever they were called back then. I can't remember what they're called. I don't think they were even called I think it was called Electronic Boutique. It wasn't even EB Games.
Yeah.
They were like Electronic Boutique.
I remember that.
I had to go to a place called Video Game Trader who, like, they specialize in bringing, like, rare games in.
Yeah.
And they would bring in NCAA football. And this is, at this time, games were $60, I think, on average. And NCAA football was $100, and I would buy it every single year.
Yeah.
Yeah. I also had no kids back then, I could spend $100 on a game and not think twice about it.
What was that video store called that you got it at?
Video Game Trader.
That's
on 17th. It's still around today.
I was going to say, that just sounds like a place in Forest Lawn that's attached to a pawn shop.
It sure is.
Yeah.
It sure is. And I actually went in there. I took my oldest in there before all this coronavirus stuff went down. And he was marveling at the old games. He was like, this is insane. Like, look at this. Dad, look, it's NHL. Like, which one had a Ginla on the cover?
Oh, my God. That would have been, like, late night or early 2000s?
Early 2000s.
2002
and he's like,
or something
whoa,
like that?
Whoa, is that the Flames? Because he was wearing the black horse jersey.
Yeah.
And he's like, whoa. And he's looking.
I forgot that Ginla was even on the cover, man.
I think he was only on the cover because Danny Heatley was on the cover. And then he had that
accident
that
where
accident.
Dan Snyder passed away.
Yeah,
yeah, you're right.
And they took him off the cover, so they had to put somebody else on, I think.
Look at Ginla just sneaking in when shit happens. Like that's how he got.
Right.
That's how he got on the Olympic team, where he set up in Salt Lake, where they won, and he ended up playing on the line with Joe Sakic and Steve Yzerman, because Simone Gagné got hurt and couldn't be at the camp. and the Cam happened to be in Calgary, where Gimla was living, and they're just like, hey, come on in.
Yeah.
And he made the team, and he was a huge part of it.
And they're like, we can't get another player, that we have to get another number 12.
Yeah, we're not changing the jersey number.
Yeah, shit. Like, we're not doing that. Who can we get? Oh, Iggy's in town. Yeah, get him. What the hell?
Simone Gagné, that's a guy who was really good, who you never hear about anymore.
That's right. That's right.
Hey,
anyway. All right. That awesome. Has been our episode for this week.
That was a fun trip down memory lane.
Yes, it was. We'll probably be back in a couple weeks. I think we'll take a couple weeks again.
See what's happening with the NBA.
With no sports, I don't think we're in any rush to do this weekly.
Nah, this is good.
Yep. Stay safe, everybody.
See ya.